Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Load up in the chat. We are on day number 8 of our Bible in 90 days. If you're just jumping on, welcome. We appreciate that you're here. You can start from any day, even if you're new. You don't have to go all the way back to day one. Just join us here where we're at. We're using the YouVersion/Life Church Bible app, Bible in 90 Days plan. And today we are starting the book of Leviticus. We knew this day would come. Here we are, the book of Leviticus, chapter 1. I think we're going, I should probably look this up before I start, but I think we're going from chapter 1. Let me check my little plan here. Chapter 1 to 14. And then tomorrow will be, well, we're going to do the whole chapter 14, but tomorrow's going to be 15 to 26. But we're going to go through it here. Stay with me. Stay plugged in. Don't get out. Don't just leave on these ones, right? You know, there's a little bit, these are a little bit intense sometimes, but stay with us the entire time. It's going to be good. So let's get started. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, using the NLT version. Again, thank you guys all for being here and the support. Verse 1, the Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, so remember, the presence of the Lord has just dwelled in the tabernacle after they just finished building it, which we read about yesterday. Verse 2, giving the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head and the Lord will accept its death and place to purify you, making you right with him. And this just keeps reminding me of how grateful I am for Jesus. We don't have to do none of this anymore. None of this. Jesus was the last lamb, praise the Lord. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priest, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stand at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and the fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with no defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will splatter its blood against all sides of the altar. Then cut the animal in pieces, and the priest will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and the fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. But first he must drain its blood against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the crop and the feathers and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then, grasping the bird by its wings, the priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he'll burn it as a burnt offering on the wood burning on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you're wondering, like, why all this? This is a sacrifice. You know, this is where they had their income, their livestock. They raised it up. They spent work. And this was a sacrifice to the Lord for them to give up their crops and their livestock and all the stuff that they had raised, which God still requires a sacrifice today, just not like this. Chapter 2. Procedures for the grain offering. When you present grain as an offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You're to pour olive oil on it and sprinkle it with frankincense, and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priests will scoop out a handful of the flour moistened with oil, together with all the frankincense, and burn this representative portion on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Excuse me. The rest of the grain offering will then be given to Aaron and his sons. This offering will be considered a most holy part of the special gifts presented to the Lord. If your offering is a grain offering baked in an oven, it must be made of choice flour, but without any yeast. It may be presented in the form of thin cakes mixed with olive oil or wafers spread with olive oil. If your grain offering is cooked on a griddle, it must be made of your choice flour mixed with olive oil, but without any yeast. Break it in pieces and pour olive oil on it. It's a grain offering. If your grain offering is prepared in a pan, it must be made of choice flour and olive oil. No matter how a grain offering for the Lord has been prepared, bring it to the priest, who will present it at the altar. The priest will take the representative portion of the grain offering and burn it on the altar. It's a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering will then be given to Aaron and his sons as their food. This offering will be considered a most holy part of the special gifts presented to the Lord. Do not use yeast in preparing any of the grain offerings you present to the Lord, because no yeast or honey may be burned as a special gift presented to the Lord. You may add yeast and honey to an offering of the first crops of your harvest, but these must never be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Season all your grain offerings with salt to remind you of God's eternal covenant. Never forget to add salt to your grain offerings. If you present a grain offering to the Lord from the first portion of your harvest, bring fresh grain that is coarsely ground and roasted on a fire. Put olive oil on this grain offering and sprinkle it with frankincense. The priest will take a representative portion of the grain moistened with oil together with all the frankincense and burn it as a special gift presented to the Lord. If you present an animal from the herd as a peace offering to the Lord, chapter 3. If you present an animal from the herd as a peace offering to the Lord, it may be a male or female, but it must have no defects. Lay your hand on the animal's head and slaughter it at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, will splatter its blood against all sides of the altar. The priest must present part of this peace offering as a special gift to the Lord. This includes all the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys, and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. These must be removed with the kidneys. And Aaron's son will burn them on top of the burnt offering and on the wood burning on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present an animal from the flock as a peace offering to the Lord, it may be male or female, but it must have no defects. If you present a sheep as your peace offering, bring it to the Lord. Lay your hand on its head and slaughter in front of the tabernacle. Aaron's son will then splatter the sheep's blood against all sides of the altar. Verse 9. The priest must present the fat of this peace offering as a special gift to the Lord. This includes the fat of the broad tail cut off near the backbone and all the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys, and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. These must be removed with the kidneys. And the priest will burn them on the altar. It is a special gift, food presented to the Lord. If you present a goat as your offering, bring it to the Lord. Lay your hand on its head and slaughter it in front of the tabernacle. Aaron's sons will then splatter the goat's blood against all sides of the altar. The priest must present part of this offering as a special gift to the Lord. This includes all the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys, and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. These must be removed with the kidneys. And the priest will burn them on the altar. It is a special food. Well, sounds like we're repeating ourselves. We are. It is a special gift of food, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. All the fat belongs to the Lord. You must never eat any fat or blood. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live. Chapter 4, Procedures for the Sin Offering. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. This is how you are to deal with those who sin unintentionally by doing anything that violates the Lord's command. If the high priest sins, bring guilt upon the entire community. He must give a sin offering for the sin he's committed. He must present to the Lord a young bull with no defects. He must bring the bull to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. Lay his hand on the bull's head and slaughter it before the Lord. The high priest will then take some of the bull's blood in the tabernacle. Dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the inner curtain of the sanctuary. The priest will then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar for fragrant incense that stands in the Lord's presence inside the tabernacle. He will pour out the rest of the bull's blood at the base of the altar for burnt offerings at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then the priest must remove all of the fat of the bull before offered as a sin offering. This includes all the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. He must remove these along with the kidneys. Verse 10. But as he does with cattle offered as a peace offering, and he must burn them on the altar of burnt offerings. But he must take whatever is left of the bull, its hide, meat, head, legs, internal organs, and dung, and carry it to a place outside the camp that is ceremonially clean, the place where the ashes are dumped. There, on the ash heap, he will burn it on wood fire. If the entire Israelite community sins by violating one of the Lord's commands, but the people don't realize it, they're still guilty. When they become aware of their sin, the people must bring a young bull as an offering for their sin and present it before the tabernacle. The elders of the community must then lay their hands on the bull's head and slaughter it before the Lord. The high priest will take some of the bull's blood into the tabernacle, dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the inner curtain. He will then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar for fragrant incense that stands in the Lord's presence inside the tabernacle. He will pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar for burnt offerings at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then the priest must remove all the animal's fat and burn it on the altar, just as he does with the bull offered as a sin offering for the high priest. Through this process, the priest will purify the people, making them right with the Lord, and they will be forgiven. Then the priest must take what is left of the bull and carry it outside the camp and burn it there, just as is done with the sin offering for the high priest. This offering is for the sin of the entire congregation of Israel. If one of Israel's leaders sin by violating one of the commands of the Lord his God, but doesn't realize it, he's still guilty. When he becomes aware of his sin, he must bring as his offering a male goat with no defects. He must lay his hand on the goat's head and slaughter at the place where burnt offerings are slaughtered before the Lord. This is an offering for his sin. Then the priest will dip his finger in the blood of the sin offering and put it on the horns of the altar for burnt offerings. He will pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he must burn all the goat's fat on the altar, just as he does with the peace offering. Through this process, the priest will purify the leader from his sin, making him right with the Lord, and he will be forgiven. If any of the common people sin by violating one of the Lord's commands, but they don't realize it, they're still guilty. When they become aware of their sin, they must bring as an offering a female goat with no defects. They must lay a hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter at a place where burnt offerings are slaughtered. And if you're wondering why, guys, it's saying like lay your hand, it's because you're basically transferring your sin to the animal, and then you're killing the animal in place of that sin. And that's why the Bible says Jesus took on our sin. So we literally transferred, well, he took our sin, transferred it onto himself, and then died as the last lamb. And that's, I won't even get into theological words for that, but that's what's going on here. Then the priest will dip his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar for burnt offerings. He'll pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he must remove all the goat's fat, just as he does with the fat of the peace offering. He will burn the fat on the altar, and it'll be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Through this process, the priest will purify the people, making them right with the Lord, and they'll be forgiven. If the people bring a sheep as their sin offering, it must be a female with no defects. They must lay a hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place where burnt offerings are slaughtered. Then the priest will dip his finger in the blood of the sin offering and put it on the horns of the altar for burnt offerings. He will pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he must remove all the sheep's fat, just as he does with the fat of a sheep presented as a peace offering. He will burn the fat on the altar on top of the special gifts presented to the Lord. Through this process, the priest will purify the people from their sin, making them right with the Lord, and they will be forgiven. Chapter 5, Sin Requiring a Sin Offering. Sins Requiring a Sin Offering. If you're called to testify about something you've not seen or you don't know about, it's sinful to refuse to testify. You have seen or you know about, it's sinful to refuse to testify, and you'll be punished for your sin. Or suppose you unknowingly touch something that is ceremonially unclean, such as the carcass of an unclean animal. When you realize what you've done, you must admit your defilement and your guilt. This is true whether it is a wild animal, a domestic animal, or an animal that scurries along the ground. Or suppose you unknowingly touch something that makes a person unclean. When you realize what you've done, you must admit your guilt. Or suppose you make a foolish vow of any kind, whether it's a purpose for good or bad. When you realize it, when you realize its foolishness, you must admit your guilt. When you become aware of your sin, when you become aware of your guilt in any of these ways, you must confess your sin. Then you must bring to the Lord as the penalty for your sin a female from the flock, either sheep or goat. This is a sin offering which the priest will purify, which will purify you from your sin, making you right with the Lord. But if you cannot afford to bring a sheep, you may bring the Lord two turtle doves or two young pigeons as the penalty for your sin. One of the birds will be for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering. You must bring them to the priest, who will present the first bird as the sin offering. He'll wring its neck, but without severing its head from the body. Then he'll sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering against the sides of the altar, and the rest of the blood will be drained out the base of the altar. This is an offering for sin. The priest will then prepare the second bird as a burnt offering, following the procedures that have been prescribed. Through this process, the priest will purify you from your sin, making you right with the Lord, and you will be forgiven. Verse 11, if you cannot afford to bring turtle doves or two young pigeons, you may bring two quarts of choice flour for your sin offering. Since it is an offering for your sin, you must not moisten it with olive oil or put any frankincense on it. Take the flour to the priest, who will scoop out a handful as a representative portion. He will burn it on the altar on top of the special gifts presented to the Lord. It's an offering for sin. Through this process, the priest will purify those who are guilty of any of these sins, making them right with the Lord, and they will be forgiven, and the rest of the flour will belong to the priest, just as with the grain offering. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, if one of you commits a sin by unintentionally defiling the Lord's sacred property, you must bring a guilt offering to the Lord. The offering must be your own ram with no defects, or you may buy one of the equal value with silver as measured by the weight of a sanctuary shekel. You must make restitution for the sacred property you've harmed by paying for the loss, plus an additional 20%. When you give the payment to the priest, he will purify you with the ram sacrificed as a guilt offering. making you right with the Lord, and you will be forgiven. Suppose you sin by violating one of the Lord's commands. Even if you're unaware of what you've done, you are guilty and will be punished for your sin. For a guilt offering, you must bring the priest your own ram with no defects, or you may buy one of equal value. Through this process, the priest will purify you from your unintentional sin, making you right with the Lord, and you'll be forgiven. This is a guilt offering, for you've been guilty of an offense against the Lord. Chapter 6, Sins Requiring a Guilt Offering. Then the Lord said to Moses, suppose one of you sins against your associate and is unfaithful to the Lord. Suppose you cheat in a deal involving a security deposit, or you steal or commit fraud, or you find lost property and lie about it, or you lie with swearing to tell the truth, or you commit any other such sin. If you sin in any of these ways, you are guilty. You must give back whatever you stole, or the money you took by extortion, or the security deposit, or the lost property you found, or anything obtained by swearing falsely. You must make restitution by paying the full price, plus an additional 20% to the person that you've harmed. On the same day, you must present a guilt offering. As a guilt offering to the Lord, you must bring the priest your own ram with no defects, or you may buy one of equal value. Through this process, the priest will purify you before the Lord, making you right with him, and you'll be forgiven for any of these sins you've committed. Then the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and linen undergarments, he must clean out the ashes out of the burnt offering and put them inside beside the altar. Then he must take off these garments, change back into his regular clothes, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Amen. Highlight that in your Bible. The fire on the altar must be kept burning, never go out. Never let the fire die, ladies and gentlemen. Keep the fire on the altar of your life burning. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. And this is what we're doing today by reading the Bible. We're offering fresh wood on the fire of our spiritual life. He will then burn the fat of the peace offering on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. That's a word for someone today. Verse 14. These are the instructions regarding the grain offering. Aaron's sons must present this offering to the Lord in front of the altar. The priest on duty will take from the grain offering a handful of choice flour moistened with olive oil together with all the frankincense. He will burn this representative portion on the altar as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Aaron and his sons may eat the rest of the flour, but it must be baked without yeast and eaten in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. Remember, it must never be prepared with yeast. I've given it to the priests as their share of the special gifts presented to me. Like the sin offering and the guilt offering, it is most holy. Any of Aaron's male descendants may eat from the special gifts presented to the Lord. This is their permanent right from generation to generation. Anyone or anything that touches these offerings will become holy. Verse 19, then the Lord said to Moses, on the day that Aaron and his sons are anointed, they must present the Lord the standard grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour, have to be offered in the morning and have to be offered in the evening. It must be carefully mixed with olive oil and cooked on a griddle. Then slice this grain offering and present it as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. In each generation, the high priest who succeeds Aaron must prepare the same offering. It belongs to the Lord and it must be burned up completely. This is a permanent law. All such grain offerings of a priest must be burned up entirely. None of it may be eaten. Then the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the sin offering. The animal given as an offering for sin is a most holy offering, and it must be slaughtered in the Lord's presence at the place where the burnt offerings are slaughtered. The priest who offers a sacrifice as a sin offering must eat his portion in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. Anyone or anything that touches the sacrificial meal will become holy. If any of the sacrificial blood splatters on a person's clothing, the soiled garment must be washed in a sacred place. If a clay pot is used to boil the sacrificial meat, it must then be broken. If a bronze pot is used, it must be scored and thoroughly rinsed with water. Any male from a priest's family may eat from this offering. It is most holy. But the offering for sin may not be eaten if its blood was brought into the tabernacle as an offering for purification in the holy place. It must be completely burned with fire. Chapter 7. Further instructions for the guilt offering. These are the instructions for the guilt offering. It is most holy. The animal sacrificed as a guilt offering must be slaughtered at the place where the burnt offerings are slaughtered, and its blood must be splattered against all sides of the altar. The priest will then offer all of its fat on the altar, including the fat of the broadtail, the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys, and the fat around them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver. These are to be removed with the kidneys. And the priest will burn them on the altar as a special gift prepared for the Lord. This is the guilt offering. Any male from a priest's family may eat the meat, but it must be eaten in a sacred place, for it is most holy. The same instructions apply to the guilt offering and the sin offering. Both belong to the priest, who uses them to purify someone, making that person white, right with the Lord. Not white with the Lord, right with the Lord. In the case of the burnt offering, the priest may keep the hide of the sacrificed animal. Any grain offering that has been baked in an oven, prepared in a pan, or cooked on a griddle belongs to the priest who presents it. All other grain offerings, whether made of dry flour or flour moistened with olive oil, are to be shared equally among all the priests, the descendants of Aaron. These are the instructions regarding the different kinds of peace offerings that may be presented to the Lord. If you present your peace offering as an expression of thanksgiving, the usual animal sacrifice must be accompanied by various kinds of bread without yeast, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers spread with oil, and cakes made of choice flour mixed with olive oil. This peace offering of thanksgiving must also be accompanied by loaves of bread made with yeast. One of each kind of bread must be presented as a gift to the Lord. It'll then belong to the priest, who splatters the blood of the peace offering against the altar. The meat of the peace offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the same day it's offered. None of it may be saved for the next morning. If you bring an offering to fulfill a vow or as a voluntary offering, the meat must be eaten on the same day the sacrifice is offered, but whatever is left over may be eaten on the second day. Any meat that is left over to the third day must be completely burned up. If any of the meat from the peace offering is eaten on the third day, the person who presented it will not be accepted by the Lord. You will receive no credit for offering it. By then, the meat will be contaminated, and if you eat it, you'll be punished for your sin. Meat that touches anything that's ceremonially unclean may not be eaten. It must be completely burned up. The rest of the meat may be eaten, but only by the people who are ceremonially clean. If you are, there we go again, ceremonially unclean, and you eat from a peace offering that was presented to the Lord, you'll be cut off from the community. Stay with it, guys. Let's push through here. If you touch anything that is unclean, whether it's human defilement or unclean animal or anything unclean, detestable thing, then you'll eat meat from a peace offering presented to the Lord, you'll be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. You must never eat fat, whether from cattle, sheep, or goats. The fat of an animal found dead or torn to pieces by wild animals must never be eaten, though it may be used for any other purpose. Ugh, fat is gross. Anyone who eats fat from an animal presented as a special gift to the Lord will be cut off from the community. No matter where you live, you must never consume the blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who consumes blood will be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present a peace offering to the Lord, bring part of it as a gift to the Lord. Present it to the Lord with your own hands as a special gift to the Lord. Bring the fat of the animal together with the breast and lift up the breast as a special offering to the Lord. Then the priest will burn the fat on the altar, but the breast will belong to Aaron and his descendants. Give the right thigh of your peace offering to the priest as a gift. The right thigh must always be given to the priest who offers the blood and the fat of the peace offering. For I've reserved the breast of the special offering and the right thigh of the sacred offering for the priests. It is the permanent right of Aaron and his descendants to share in the peace offerings brought by the people of Israel. This is their rightful share, the special gift presented to the Lord, who had been reserved for Aaron and his descendants from the time they were set to serve the Lord as priests. On the day they were anointed, the Lord commanded the Israelites to give these portions to the priests as their permanent share from generation to generation. These are the instructions for the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, as well as the ordination offering and the peace offering. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses on Mount Sinai when he commanded the Israelites to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. I forgot that we're on Mount Sinai right now. So much instruction here. Chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, along with their sacred garments, the anointing oil, the bull for sin offering, the two rams, the basket of bread made without yeast, and the entire and call the entire community of Israel together at the entrance of the tabernacle. So Moses followed the Lord's instructions, and the whole community assembled at the tabernacle entrance. Moses announced, this is what the Lord has commanded us. Then he presented Aaron and his two sons and washed them with water. He put the official tunic on Aaron and tied the sash around his waist. He dressed him in a robe, placed the ephod on him, and attached the ephod securely with its decorative sash. Then Moses placed the chest piece on Aaron and put the Urim and Thummim inside it. He placed a turban on Aaron's head and attached the gold medallion, the badge of holiness, to the front of the turban, just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, making them holy. He sprinkled the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing it with all its utensils, as well as the wash basin and its stand, making them holy. He then poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, anointing him and making him holy for his work. Next, Moses presented Aaron's sons. He clothed them in their tunics, tied their sashes around them, and put their special head coverings on them, just as the Lord commanded. Then Moses presented the bull for sin offering. Aaron and his sons laid their heads on the bull's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Moses took some of the blood, and with his fingers he put on the 4 horns of the altar to purify it. He poured the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, and through this process he made the altar holy by purifying it. Then Moses took all the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat around them, and burned it all on the altar. He took the rest of the bull, including its hide, meat, and dung, and burned it on the fire outside the camp, just as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses presented the ram for the burnt offering. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Then Moses took the ram's blood and splattered it against all sides of the altar. Then he cut the ram into pieces and burned the head, some of its pieces, and the fat on the altar. After washing the internal organs and the legs with water, Moses burned the entire ram on the altar as a burnt offering. It was a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses presented the other ram, which was the ram of the ordination. Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the ram's head, and Moses slaughtered it. Then Moses took some of its blood and applied the blood to the lobe of Aaron's right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the big toe of his right foot. Next, Moses presented Aaron's sons and applied some of the blood to the lobes of their right ears, the thumbs of their right hands, and the big toes of their right feet. He then splattered the rest of the blood against, where do you think? All sides of the altar. Next, Moses took the fat, including the fat of the broad tail, the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat around them, along with the right thigh. On top of these, he placed a thin cake of bread without yeast, a cake of bread mixed with olive oil, and a wafer spread with olive oil. All these were taken from the basket of bread made without yeast and was placed in the Lord's presence. He put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons and lifted these gifts as a special offering to the Lord. Moses then took all the offerings back from them and burned them on the altar on top of the burnt offering. This was the ordination offering. It was a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord. Then Moses took the breast and lifted it up as a special offering to the Lord. This was Moses' portion of the ram ordination, just as the Lord had commanded him. Next, Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled them on Aaron and his garments and his sons and their garments. And in this way, he made Aaron and his sons and their garments holy. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the remaining meat of the offering at the tabernacle entrance and eat there, along with the bread that is the basket of offerings for the ordination, just as I commanded when I said, 'Aaron and his sons will eat it.' Any meat or bread that is left over must be burned up. You must not leave the tabernacle entrance for 7 days, for that is when the ordination ceremony will be completed. Everything we've done today was commanded by the Lord in order to purify you, making you right with him. Now stay at the entrance of the tabernacle day and night for 7 days and do everything the Lord requires. If you fail to do this, you'll die, for this is what the Lord commanded. So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord had commanded through Moses. Chapter 9. After the ordination ceremony, on the 8th day, Moses called together Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, "Take a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defects, and present them to the Lord. Then tell the Israelites, 'Take a male goat for a sin offering and take a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defects, for a burnt offering. Also take a bull and a ram for a peace offering and flour moistened with olive oil for a grain offering. Present all these offerings to the Lord because the Lord will appear to you today.' So the people presented all these things in the entrance of the tabernacle, just as Moses had commanded. Then the whole community came forward and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, 'This is what the Lord has commanded you.'" Man, my nose is so itchy. "This is what the Lord has commanded you to do so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering to purify yourself and the people. Then present the offerings of the people to purify them, making them right with the Lord, just as he commanded.' So Aaron went to the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. His sons brought him the blood, and he dipped his finger in it and put the horns put it on the horns of the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he burned on the altar the fat, the kidneys, and the long lobe of liver from the sin offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The meat and the hide, however, he burned outside the camp. Then Aaron slaughtered the animal for the burnt offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he splattered it against all sides of the altar. Then they handed him each a piece of the burnt offering, including the head, and he burned them on the altar. Then he washed the internal organs and legs and burned them on the altar along with the rest of the burnt offering. Next, Aaron presented the offerings to the people. He slaughtered the people's goats and presented it as an offering for their sin, just as he'd done with the offering for his own sin. Then he presented the burnt offering and sacrificed it in the prescribed way. He also presented the grain offering, burning a handful of flour mixture on the altar in addition to the regular burnt offerings for the morning. Then Aaron slaughtered the bull and the ram for the people's peace offering. His sons brought him the blood, and he splattered it against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat of the bull and the ram and the fat of the broadtail and from around the internal organs, along with the kidneys and the long lobes of the livers. He placed these fat portions on top of the breast of these animals and burned them on the altar. Aaron then lifted up the breast and right thigh as a special offering, just as Moses had commanded. After that, Aaron raised his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went in the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell down to their face. Chapter 10, The Sin of Nadab and Abihu. Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu put coals of fire in their incense burner and sprinkled incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he had commanded. I preached on this a couple weeks ago. I think I was at Lifesong when I preached on this. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, 'I'll display my holiness through those who come near me. I'll display my glory before all the people.'" So they brought the wrong fire, a false fire, before the Lord. Don't do that. Do not do that, ladies and gentlemen. And Aaron was silent. Then Moses called for Mishael and Elzaphan, Aaron's cousins, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel, who said to them, "Come forward and carry away the bodies of your relatives from in front of the sanctuary to a place outside the camp." They came forward and picked up their garments and carried them out of the camp, just as Moses had commanded. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, "Do not show grief by leaving your hair uncombed or by tearing your clothing. If you do, you will die, and the Lord's anger will strike this whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn because of the Lord's fiery destruction of Nadab and Abihu. But you must not leave the entrance of the tabernacle, or you will die. For you've been anointed with the Lord's anointing oil, so they did as Moses commanded." Verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic beverage. You and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation. You must distinguish between what is sacred and what is common, between what is ceremonially unclean and what is clean. And you must teach the Israelites all the decrees that the Lord has given them through Moses.' Then Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, 'Take what is left of the grain offering after a portion has been presented as a special gift to the Lord and eat it beside the altar. Make sure it contains no yeast, for it is most holy. You must eat in a sacred place, for it has been given to you and your descendants as a portion of the special gifts presented to the Lord. These are the commands I've given. But the breast and thigh that are lifted up as a special offering may be eaten in any place that is ceremonially clean. These parts have been given to you and your descendants as your portion of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. You must lift up the thigh and breast as a special offering to the Lord, along with the fat of special gifts. These parts will belong to you and your descendants as your permanent right, just as the Lord has commanded.'" Moses then asked them what had happened to the goat of the sin offering. When he had discovered it was burned up, he became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons. "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sacred area?" he demanded. "It is a holy offering. The Lord has given it to you to remove the guilt of the community and to purify the people, making them right with the Lord. Since the animal's blood was not brought into the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sacred area as I ordered you." Then Aaron answered Moses, "Today my sons presented both their sin offering and their burnt offering to the Lord, and yet this tragedy has happened to me. If I'd eaten the people's sin offering on such a tragic day as this, would the Lord have been pleased?" And when Moses heard this, he was satisfied. Chapter 11, Ceremonially Clean and Unclean Animals. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Of all the land animals, these are the ones you may use for food. All right, here we go, guys. We're getting there. A couple more chapters. Let's do this. Type some ones in the chat here. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and chews of the cud. You may not, however, eat the following animals that have split hooves or chew of the cud, but not both. The camel chews the cud, but does not have split hooves, so it's ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax chews the cud, but does not have split hooves, so it's unclean. The hare chews the cud, but does not have split hooves, so it's unclean. The pig has evenly split hooves, but does not chew the cud, so it's unclean. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their carcasses, for they are ceremonially unclean for you. Of all the marine animals, these are the ones you may use for food. You may eat anything from the water if it has both fins and scales, whether taken from salt or from streams. But you must never eat animals from the sea or from the rivers that do not have both fins and scales. They are detestable to you. This applies both to little creatures that live in shallow water and creatures that live in deep water. They will always be detestable to you. You must never eat their meat or even touch their dead bodies. Any marine animals that does not have both fins and scales is detestable. Ooh, I don't think we're supposed to be eating shrimp. All right. These are the birds that are detestable to you. I'm just kidding. In the new covenant, it's all clean. He says, don't call unclean what I call clean now. So you're good. Some of you are eating shrimp as we're doing this. These are the birds that are detestable to you. You must never eat them. The griffin vulture, the bearded vulture, and the black vulture. Ugh, those must taste nasty. The kite, falcons of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the eagle owl, the short-haired owl, the seagull, the hawks of all kinds, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the stork, the herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. You must not eat winged insects that walk along the ground. They are detestable to you. You may, however, eat winged insects that walk along the ground and have joined legs so they can jump, aka John the Baptist eating grasshoppers. The insects you're permitted to eat include all kinds of locusts, bald locusts. Imagine being a locust and then you're not just a locust, you're a bald locust. That's crazy. Crickets and grasshoppers. All other winged insects that walk along the ground are detestable. The following creatures will make you ceremonially unclean. If any of you touch their carcasses, you will be defiled until evening. If you pick up their carcasses, you must wash your clothes and you'll remain defiled until evening. Any animal that has split hooves that are not evenly divided or does not chew the cud is unclean. If you touch the carcass of an animal, you'll be defiled. Of the animals that walk on all fours, those who have paws are unclean. Okay, so don't be eating dogs. If you touch the carcass of such an animal, you'll be defiled until evening. If you pick up a carcass, you must wash your clothes and you'll remain defiled until evening. These animals are unclean for you. Of the small animals that scurry along the ground, these are unclean for you. The mole rat, the rat, the large lizards of all kinds, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the common lizard, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. All these small animals are unclean for you. If any of you touch the dead body of an animal, you'll be defiled till evening. If such an animal dies and falls onto something, the object will be unclean. This is true whether the object is made of wood, cloth, leather, or burlap. Whatever its use, you must dip it in water and it'll remain defiled until evening. After that, it'll be ceremonially clean and be used again. If such an animal falls into a clay pot, everything in the pot will be defiled and the pot must be smashed. If the water from such a container spills on any food, the food will be defiled and the beverage in such container will be defiled. Sorry, some of these words like beverage, I just wasn't ready to read in Leviticus here. It's like beverage, okay. Any object on which the carcass of such an animal falls will be defiled. If it's an oven or a hearth, it must be destroyed. For it's defiled, you must treat it accordingly. However, if the carcass of such an animal falls into a spring or cistern, the water will still be clean, but anyone who touches the carcass will be defiled. If the carcass falls on seed ground to be planted in the field, the seed will still be considered clean. But if the seed is wet when the carcass falls, the seed will be defiled, okay. If an animal you're permitted to eat dies and you touch its carcass, you'll be defiled until evening. If you eat any of its meat or carry away its carcass, you must wash your clothes and you'll remain defiled until evening. All the small animals that scurry along the ground are detestable and you must never eat them. These includes all animals that slither on their bellies, as well as those with four legs with many feet, and all these animals that scurry on the ground are detestable and you must never eat them. Do not defile yourselves by touching them. You must not make yourselves unclean because of them. For I'm the Lord your God, and you must consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. So do not defile yourselves with any small animals that scurry on the ground. For I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt, that I might be your God. Therefore, you must be holy because I am holy. These are the instructions regarding land animals, birds, marine creatures, and animals that scurry on the ground. By these instructions, you'll know what is unclean and clean and which animals may be eaten and not be eaten. All right, we're getting there, guys. We got two more chapters here. All right, here we go. Chapter 12, purification after childbirth. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, she'll be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her menstrual period. On the eighth day, the boy's foreskin must be circumcised. After waiting 33 days, he will be purified from the bleeding of childbirth. Oh, she will be. During this time of purification, she must not touch anything that is set apart as holy, and she must not enter the sanctuary until her time of purification is over. If a woman gives birth to a daughter, she'll be unclean for 2 weeks, just as she is unclean during her menstrual period. After waiting 66 days, she'll be purified from bleeding of childbirth. When the time of purification is completed for either son or daughter, the woman must bring a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a purification offering. She must bring her offering to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will then present them to the Lord to purify her. Then they will be ceremonially clean again after her bleeding at childbirth. These are the instructions for a woman after the birth of son or daughter. If a woman cannot afford to bring a lamb, she must bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One will be for the burnt offering and the other for the purification offering. The priest will sacrifice them to purify her, and she will be ceremonially clean. Why can I not get that word? Chapter 13, serious skin diseases. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, if anyone has a swelling or a rash or discolored skin that might develop into a skin condition or disease, that person must be brought to Aaron and the priest or to one of his sons. The priest will examine the affected area of the skin. If the hair is the affected area and has turned white and the problem appears to be more than skin deep, it's a serious skin disease, and the priest who examines him must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. But if the affected area of the skin is only a white discoloration and does not appear to be more than skin deep, and if the hair on the spot has not turned white, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has not changed and the problem has not spread on the skin, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 more days. On the seventh day, the priest will make another examination. If he finds the affected area has faded and not spread, the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. It was only a rash, and the person's clothing must be washed, and the person will be ceremonially clean. But if the rash keeps spreading after the person has been examined by the priest and is pronounced clean, the infected person must return to the examined area again, or to be examined again. If the priest finds the rash has spread, he must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean, for it's indeed a skin disease. Anyone who develops a serious skin disease must go to the priest for an examination. If the priest finds a white swelling on the skin and some hair on the spot has turned white and there's an open sore in the affected area, it's a chronic skin disease, and the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. In such case, the person not need to be quarantined, for it's obvious that the skin has been defiled by the disease. Now, suppose the disease has spread all over the person's body and skin, covering the body from head to foot. When the priest examines the infected person and finds the disease covers the entire body, he'll pronounce the person ceremonially clean. Since the skin has turned completely white, the person is clean. But if any open sores appear, the affected person will be pronounced ceremonially unclean. The priest must make this pronouncement as soon as he sees an open sore, since open sores indicate the presence of a skin disease. However, if the open sore heals and turns white like the rest of the skin, the person must return to the priest. And I hope none of you are eating right now as you listen to this. For another examination, if the affected area has indeed turned white, the priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean by declaring, "You are clean!" If anyone has a boil on the skin that has started to heal, but a white swelling or a reddish spot develops in its place, the person must go to the priest to be examined. If the priest examines it and finds it to be more than a skin deep, and if the hair in the affected area, that is just, the hair part just grosses me out, I'm sorry, turns white, the priest must pronounce the person unclean. The boil has become a serious skin disease. But if the priest finds no white hair on the affected area and the problem appears to be no more than skin deep and has faded, the priest must quarantine the person for 7 days. If during that time the affected area spreads on the skin, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean because it's serious disease. But if the area grows no larger and does not spread, it's merely a scar from a boil, and the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. If anyone has suffered a burn on the skin and the burn changes color, becoming reddish white or skinny white, the priest must examine it. If he finds that the hair in the affected area has turned white and the problem appears to be more than skin deep, the skin disease has broken out in the burn. The priest must pronounce the person ceremonially clean, for it is clearly a skin disease. But if the priest finds no white hair on the affected area and the problem appears to be no more than skin deep and has faded, the priest must quarantine the affected person for 7 days. Wow, I cannot believe how long this chapter is. Skin diseases must be serious back then. On the seventh day, the priest must examine the person again. If the affected area has spread on the skin, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean, for it's clearly a serious skin disease. But if the affected area has not changed or spread on the skin and has faded, it's simply a swelling from the burn. The priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean, for it is only a scar from the burn. If anyone, either a woman or man, has a sore on their head or chin, the priest must examine it. If he finds it more than skin deep and has fine yellow hair on it, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. If it's a scabby sore of the head or chin, if the priest examines the scabby sore and finds that it's only skin deep, but there's no black hair on it, he must quarantine the person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest must examine the sore again. I would not want to be a priest. Thankfully that us leaders and preachers don't have to examine sores on bodies. If he finds a scabby sore has not spread and there's no yellow hair on it, it appears to be only skin deep, the person must shave off all of the hair except the hair on the affected area. Then the priest must quarantine the person for another 7 days. On the seventh day, he'll examine the sore again. If it has not spread and appears to be no more than skin deep, the priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. The person's clothing must be washed and the person will be ceremonially clean. But if the scabby sore begins to spread after the person is pronounced clean, the priest must do another examination. If he finds that the sore has spread, the priest does not need to look for yellow hair. The infected person is unclean. Ugh. If the color of the scabby sore does not change and black hair has grown on it, it is healed. The priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean. If anyone, either a man or woman, has shiny white patches on the skin, the priest must examine that area. If he finds that the shiny patches are only pale white, this is a harmless skin rash, and the person is ceremonially clean. If a man loses his hair and his head becomes bald, he is still ceremonially clean. Shout out to everyone that's bald. You're still clean. Don't worry. If he loses hair on his forehead, he simply has a bald forehead, he is still clean. However, if a reddish white sore appears on the bald area on the top of his head or on his forehead, this is a skin disease. The priest must examine him. Some of you are like, I need to go to the doctor after reading this. If he finds swelling around the reddish white sore anywhere on the man's head and it looks like a skin disease, the man is infected with the skin disease and is unclean. The priest must pronounce him ceremonially unclean because of the sore on his head. Those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. As long as a serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean, for they will live in isolation in the place outside the camp. Wow, guys, this is so long. Verse 47. Here we go. Now suppose mildew contaminates some wool or linen clothing. Woolen or linen fabric, the hide of an animal, or anything made of leather. If the contaminated area of clothing or the animal hide, the fabric, or the leather article has turned greenish or reddish, it is contaminated with mildew and must be shown to the priest. After examining the affected spot, the priest will put the article in quarantine for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest must inspect it again. There is no end in sight to this. If the contaminated area has spread, the clothing or fabric or leather is contaminated by serious mildew and is unclean. The priest must burn the item, the clothing, the woolen or linen fabric or piece of leather, for it's been contaminated by a serious mildew. It must be completely destroyed by fire. But if the priest examines it and finds that the contaminated area has not spread in the clothing, the fabric, or the leather, the priest will order the object to be washed and then quarantined for 7 days. Then the priest must examine the object again. If he finds the contaminated area has not changed color after being washed, even if it did not spread, the object is defiled and it must be completely burned up, whether the contaminated spot is on the inside or the outside. But if the priest examines it and finds the contaminated area has faded after being washed, he must cut the spot from the clothing and fabric or the leather. If the spot later reappears on the clothing, the fabric, or the leather article, the mildew is clearly spreading and the contaminated object must be burned. But if the spot disappears from the clothing, the fabric, or the leather article, it has been washed, it must be washed again and it will be ceremonially clean. These are the instructions for dealing with the mildew that contaminates the woolen or linen clothing or fabric or anything made of leather. This is how the priest will determine these items are ceremonial clean or unclean. Oh, we did it, guys. All right, let's see. How long is this one? Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. We can do this. 57 verses. Here we go. One more chapter. You're supposed to split these in half for the days, but we're just going to finish it. We're just going to do the whole chapter, and then tomorrow we'll start 15. Here we go. Chapter 14, cleansing from skin diseases. And the Lord said to Moses, the following instructions are for those who seek ceremonial purification from skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest, who will examine them at the place outside the camp. If the priest finds that someone has been healed of a serious skin disease, he'll perform a purification ceremony using two live birds that are ceremonially clean, a stick of cedar, some scarlet yarn, and a hyssop branch. The priest will order that one bird be slaughtered over a clay pot filled with fresh water. He will take the live bird, the cedar stick, and the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop branch, and dip them into the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the fresh water. The priest will then sprinkle the blood of the dead bird seven times on the person's being purified skin disease. When the priest has purified the person, he'll release the live bird into the open field to fly away. The person being purified must then wash their clothes, shave off all their hair, and bathe themselves in water. Then they will be ceremonially clean. Excuse me. And may return to the camp. However, they may remain outside their tents for 7 days. On the seventh day, they must again shave all of their hair from their heads, including the hair of the bird, beard, and eyebrows. They must also wash their clothes and bathe themselves in water. Then they will be ceremonially clean. On the eighth day, each person being purified must bring two male lambs and 1-year-old male female lamb, all with no defects, along with a grain offering of 6 quarts, choice flour, moistened with olive oil, and a cup of olive oil. Then the officiating priest will present the person for purification along with the offerings before the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will take one of the male lambs and the olive oil and present them as a guilt offering, lifting them up as a special offering to the Lord. He will then slaughter the male lamb in the sacred area where the sin offering and burnt offering are slaughtered, as with the sin offering. The guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is a most holy offering. The priest will then take some of the blood of the guilt offering and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right person being purified. Then the priest will pour some of the olive oil Then the priest will pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his own left hand. Then he will dip his right finger into olive oil in his palm and sprinkle some of it with his finger 7 times before the Lord. The priest will then apply some of the oil in his palm over the blood from the guilt offering that is on the lobe of the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. The priest will apply the oil remaining in his hand to the head of the person being purified. Through this process, the priest will purify the person before the Lord. Then the priest must present the sin offering to purify the person who was cured of the skin disease, and after that, the priest will slaughter the burnt offering and offer it on the altar along with the grain offering. Through this process, the priest will purify the person who was healed, and the person will be ceremonially clean. But anyone who is too poor and cannot afford these offerings may bring one male lamb for a guilt offering to be lifted as a special offering for purification. The person must also bring 2 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil for the grain offering in the cup of olive oil. The offering must also include 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, whichever the person can afford. One of the pair must be used for sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. On the 8th day of the purification ceremony, the person being purified must bring the offerings to the priest in the Lord's presence at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will take the lamb for the guilt offering along with the olive oil and lift them as a special offering to the Lord. Then the priest will slaughter the lamb for the guilt offering. He will take some of the blood and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot on the person being purified. The priest will also pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his left hand. He'll dip his right finger into the olive oil on his palm and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord. The priest will then apply some of the oil in his palm over the blood from the guilt offering that is on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. The priest will apply the oil remaining in his hand to the head of the person being purified. Through this process, the priest will purify the person before the Lord. Then the priest will offer 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, whatever the person can afford. One of them is for the sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to be presented along with the grain offering. Through this process, the priest will purify the person before the Lord. These are the instructions for purification for those who have recovered from a serious skin disease and cannot afford to bring offerings normally required for ceremony purification. All right. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when you arrive in Canaan, the land I'm giving you as your own possession, I may contaminate some of the houses in your land with mildew. The owner of the house must go to the priest and say, it appears that my house has some kind of mildew. Before the priest goes in to inspect the house, he must have the house emptied so nothing will be pronounced ceremonially unclean. Then the priest will go and examine the mildew on the walls, and if he finds greenish or reddish streaks and the contamination appears to go deeper than the wall surface, the priest will step outside the door and the house will be put in quarantine for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest must remain for another inspection, and after he finds the mildew on the wall, the house has and if he finds the mildew on the walls of the house has spread, the priest must order the stones from those areas to be removed. The contaminated material will then be taken outside to the town of an area designated as ceremonially unclean. Next, the inside walls of the entire house must be scraped thoroughly and scrapings dumped in the unclean place outside the town. Other stones will be brought to the place to replace the ones that are removed, and the walls will be replastered. But if the mildew appears after all the stones have been replaced, the house has been scraped and replastered, the priest must return and inspect the house again. If he finds that the mildew has spread and the walls are clearly contaminated with a serious mildew, the house is defiled. It must be torn down, and all its stones, timbers, and plasters must be carried out of town to a place designated as ceremonially unclean. Those who enter the house during the period of quarantine will be ceremonially unclean till evening, and all that sleep or eat in the house must wash their clothing. But if the priest returns for his inspection and finds the mildew does not reappear in the house after the fresh plastering, he'll pronounce it clean because the mildew is clearly gone. To purify the house, the priest must take two birds, a stick of cedar, some scarlet yarn, and a hyssop branch. He will slaughter one of the birds over a clay pot with fresh water, and he'll take the cedar stick, the hyssop branch, and the scarlet yarn, and the live bird, and dip them into the blood of the slaughtered bird into the fresh water. Then he'll sprinkle the house 7 times. When the priest has purified the house exactly this way, he'll release the live bird in an open field outside the town. Through this process, the priest will purify the house and will be ceremonially clean. These are the instructions for dealing with serious skin disease, including scabby sores, mildew, whether on clothing or in a house, swelling on the skin, a rash, or discolored skin. This procedure will determine whether a person or object is clean or unclean. These are the instructions regarding skin disease and mildew. All right. Didn't wake up thinking today I was going to be talking about mildew and skin disease, but here we are. And then I know you guys are looking forward to this. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about bodily discharge. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about bodily discharge. You heard it here first. Stay with us, guys. I know tomorrow is the Super Bowl. Or as some people call Super Bowl, but this is at 2 o'clock. So I don't think the Super Bowl is till like 3:30. So you can stay on tomorrow for Leviticus, the second part, the last part. We're going to be finishing it, I believe, tomorrow. I appreciate every single one of you joining. Thank you all in the chat that are engaging. Thank you guys for sharing. Thank you guys for liking. We made it through part one of Leviticus. Said the word ceremonially, probably like 50 times, 100 times. Hopefully I'll be able to read that word better the next time we read it, which will be tomorrow. But I love and appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. If you want to support, you can do it on screen. You can do it in the description down below. All the support links are there. The mods are putting in the chat as they always do. And our mods are so amazing. Our mods are so quick in the chat. If you don't know what a mod is, it's a moderator. They make sure people aren't getting crazy in the chat. So I appreciate the engagement. I appreciate the moderators. Thank you guys for the support. Also, make sure you grab my book. It's in the description. We don't have video sponsors, so that's our video sponsor is my book, How to Cast Out Demons on Amazon. I'm going to jump off here, hang out with the family. I love you guys very much, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.